are going to switch our attention over to our in-studio guest today. We are so excited to have the Green Chamber back in to talk about what's going on here in Atlanta after we did the exciting talk with the Swedish ambassadors. That was exciting. And we also have a special guest, Stephanie Armistead from Green Business Works in the house. Welcome, Stephanie. How are you?
Good afternoon. Welcome and thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you. And welcome to you, Robert. Good to see you again.
Good afternoon. Hey, Joyce. It's very happy to be here again.
Okay. Well, let me tell y'all a little bit about Miss Stephanie over here. In September 2001, Stephanie refocused the direction of her marketing communications agency, The Communication Works, to assist nonprofits in recovering from the after effects of 9/11. The agency began to work on meetings and events, executing fundraising and development campaigns for Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance, Athletes for a Better World, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, Keep Atlanta Beautiful, and others. During her work with Keep Atlanta Beautiful, Stephanie learned about Mayor Franklin's initiatives for the greening of Atlanta and was inspired to do her part in making Atlanta the green capital of the South. As a result, Stephanie founded Green Business Works. Stephanie has also served on the inaugural board of the Green Chamber of the South and is a volunteer for the Georgia Chapter United States Green Building Council as the sponsorship committee chairperson and as, oh, she's an ambassador too, to the Zero Waste Zones and a liaison for emerging green builders. Now, the one thing that I'm going to have to ask you about after I introduce Robert is how you live in Atlanta without a car. Wow, that's amazing. And so Robert Newcomer, he is a lawyer with the Lang Legal Group, and he's also part of the Green Chamber of the South. Mr. Newcomer is a commercial litigation, environmental, and business law attorney with more than 15 years of experience advising business entities and individual entrepreneurs in clean, green technology and social enterprise areas on a broad range of legal and strategic business issues. Mr. Newcomer is a leader in energy and environmental design accredited professional, LEED AP, and serves on the Sustainable Building Task Force for Sustainable Atlanta and the Sustainability Task Force for Atlanta Beltline. Mr. Newcomer helped establish and still serves on a number of nonprofit boards, including the Green Chamber of the South and the Girl Tank Foundation. Mr. Newcomer received his JD from Duke University School of Law, a master's degree in environmental management from Duke University Nicholas School of the Environment. All right. Welcome. 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 So, Stephanie, you're a first-time visitor to the show. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's just get right down to the car question. We'll just knock that out. That's part of your sustainability commitment, isn't it?
It's part of walking my talk. It's really funny how it all came about. I was actually in the midst of leasing a car, which was coming to an end, and I was in a decision point about what to do, and I really didn't want to go out and go through that exercise of buying a car, and it just occurred to me this was my opportunity to walk my talk. Mm-hmm. So I made a pledge on Earth Day of 2010 to live a year in Atlanta without a car. And I'm going on year two, and this Earth Day will be the culmination of 2 years of doing that. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I take mass transit. I walk. I bike. I ride share. And a combination of, and those occasions when I want to go visit family that's a little outside of Atlanta, I do rent a car, a hybrid, and also use Zipcar on occasion. So it can be done. Of course, I do live in Midtown. There's a great deal of community connectivity and development density there. So I have a lot of services within walking distance of my home and where I work. So it does make it a little different.
Well, I think that's very impressive. I don't know if I could do that, but I think it's wonderful. And I think a big piece of that is making sure that you have access to the different avenues of transportation, right?
It is. And I've really enjoyed getting to know MARTA and how it operates. And many times, one of the things I'm surprised at is people say to me, how do you ride MARTA? And it occurred to me that those who don't get on the bus or the train just don't have a sense of how the system works. So I am open and available to discuss that anytime with anyone who wants to understand.
Okay, great. Well, let me begin by asking you why sustainability should be important to companies.
Well, one of the reasons we got into this business, obviously, is in keeping with the mission of what Mayor Franklin started, was to green Atlanta, make it the capital of the South. Before she could really reach out to the corporate community, she had to do a lot internally to green up City Hall. So we began to look at the corporate community and what their role was going to be. And because of my background in corporate communications, that was sort of where my strength lie. And I knew that that was what I could bring to the table. So when I reach out to companies and chat with them about what this opportunity is about, and it is about that triple bottom line, people, products, and the planet. So it's an opportunity for them to adopt a business platform that, frankly, if they don't, they're going to have a hard time explaining down the road why they didn't to their shareholders and their stakeholders. And they're going to have a shrinking talent pool graduated from college and those in that millennium era who are actively looking for companies who have a social conscience, who are doing the right things. That's where they want to go to work. And those are the companies who are not going down this avenue are going to really miss out on some talent in the marketplace.
So you kind of help shed light for companies as to why they should really focus in on this?
Absolutely. And also picking up and trending is that's important is the trend in socially responsible investing. Mm-hmm. More and more institutional investors are looking at organizations or companies to recommend for portfolios that that are doing the right thing. So again, those publicly traded companies that are missing out on this are going to be sort of left behind when it comes to being recommended on the by the institutional investors.
Do you see that as the reason why businesses are beginning to adopt some practices in sustainability? They want to stay, I guess, relevant and current with the trends?
Absolutely. And one of the drivers pushing organizations in this direction has been the economic landscape. Sustainability really is about conservation. It's conserving resources. And anytime you're conserving your resources, that typically translate to a conservation of dollars spent. So anytime you can increase that delta between revenues in an organization and expenses, that makes for a good return on shareholder investment. So really, sustainability is about conservation. It's been impacted by the economy in a very positive way. So those are some of the big influencers that that companies have come forward with.
I think that environmental sustainability is really almost more of a state-by-state, smaller country-by-smaller country. You know, you hear all these different large countries like the Kyoto, I guess,
Protocol.
Mm-hmm. Protocol. Thank mm-hmm. you. I was going to say principle. And it just seems like Sweden and America, that alliance they have is so strong. And there's so much great think tanks going back and forth about how to be more environmentally friendly. And I just think it's very heartening to see people like you out there communicating with the business people. You know, almost, I guess, one-on-one, one corporation to one corporation after another, to kind of get the economics out there and the what's in it for them, because right. They are businesses and they have to turn a profit.
And corporate sustainability is looking at the environmental, the social, and the governance, and of course the fiscal aspect of it as well, because it certainly doesn't make any, you have to have good business reasons why you're going to do anything. So companies who adopt this ESG approach are those companies who really are going to accelerate in the marketplace.
So do you think companies are at the point now where they'll hire chief sustainability officers?
Wow, that's a good question. I read recently a report that was put out at the fourth quarter last year that stated something to the effect of there are 7,000 companies that are traded on NASDAQ, only 30 of those companies have a chief sustainability officer,
wow.
A C-level executive in that role, which is kind of sad in my case, but it does lend you to ask the question, obviously there's a lot of work being done, so who is doing the work? And it's typically right now falling in that middle management level of those people within the organizations that are doing the work. Buy-in has to occur at the C-level. But the work right now in most of the organizations is in middle management. And we will see over time it begin to creep up, and you'll see more and more people or more and more executives in that C-suite of a chief sustainability officer and perhaps in a board position or a board committee. That I think those companies who adopt that will be truly early adopters and leading the way.
There you go. So if one aspires to become a CSO, what are some of the common traits and attributes of these leaders? What are the leaders of sustainability doing at work all day long?
Excellent question. It's kind of like what you would expect it to be. Those who have achieved that level in their organization are there because, number one, they know the business. So it's not as if somebody who doesn't know, let's say, logistics or the food and beverage industry is going to automatically step in and be able to deliver on sustainability for a company at the C-suite level in that regard. They also have to be great change agents. They have to be able to manage change because basically when it gets down to it, sustainability is about managing change within an organization. So they have to have that ability to understand how to manage change. And they have to have the ability to lead and to gain that buy-in across interdisciplinary teams so that their vision and the mission of the organization can cascade down through those throughout the company who are responsible for delivering on that.
Okay. Well, what sets your sustainability leadership series apart from other programs out there working with corporations like this?
Absolutely. Great question. The leadership program has basically three phases to it or three aspects to it that I would say. Of course, we have the technical side where we teach sort of the technical tools, you know, renewable energy, conservation, efficiencies, waste stream management, things of that nature. But we're also teaching the leadership capacity, how to build those skills within an individual to drive change within the organization. So they're building their leadership skills and they're building their technical knowledge. But the third aspect of it that I think is so incredible and going to be very exciting is the sustainability simulation game. We start the leadership series with these 2 days of this simulation game. This was developed by the Green Business Lab and Stuart Hart out of Cornell and his group. And the green business or the sustainability simulation game is an experience where the students will be divided up into teams of seven people of interdisciplinary areas within a company. And they'll be charged with manufacturing and bringing a product to market. And they'll actually have little tools and little aspects and pieces that they have to put together and build something. Each aspect of this will have environmental attributes. So they will have to make decisions that are very real world based, such as, do I manufacture this in the United States or do I do it offshore? Do I use green energy or do I buy carbon offsets? So this is the kind of dialogue that's real world dialogue that companies are actually having today. The game is going to be facilitated by Stephen Olson, who's assistant professor for ethics and responsibility at Georgia State University. And I had the opportunity to observe this game at one of his MBA classes. And the conversation that these students were having while they were playing this game are exactly the kinds of conversation executives are having in their organizations today. So this is the most real-world experience students can have in a very safe environment as they manufacture and bring a product to market profitably.
Very interesting. They get to practice in real time in a simulation environment. I think that's pretty neat. I've seen different types of simulations in MBA school. I've not heard of this one. So this is pretty interesting. I'm sure it'll catch on like wildfire.
Sure hope so.
So what are some of the teachers and subject matter experts that will be speaking and teaching in these types of classes?
Well, one of the trends in sustainability right now is integrated reporting. And we have here in Atlanta UPS, who's filed one of the first assurance sustainability reports that's been assured by one of the top four firms. And their partner in that, Deloitte, is going to deliver this presentation with them. So the students in the class are going to have the opportunity to find out what it's like, what does integrated reporting mean, and how does one go about implementing that in their own organization. So that's going to be a very valuable and trending opportunity for these students to have the chance to talk with these folks. The other one is we have Hagler and Homrich Consulting Group. They're going to give us the big sort of picture about what it takes to communicate and cascade information throughout the organizational design within a company. So they're going to really help us see that big 30,000-foot view and how to get that organizational design developed and cascaded so that all of the sustainability initiatives are communicated. It's going to be a very exciting class. Lots of other great speakers. South Face Energy Institute will also be there, including Energy Ace as well.
And this is all at Georgia State, is that correct?
It's in various corporate locations where we're going to be holding this. So we have the opportunity to take some tours of different facilities based on what we're studying at the same time.
Great. So is there a website where people can keep up with that? Or they
thought you'd never ask. It's greenbusinessworks.net.
Got it. Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm sure a lot of the universities in the area especially would like to know more about that.
Absolutely. And we do have some students who are participating, and I guess I sort of use the word students because we have companies who are actually targeted to participate in this, and we do have everything from small to medium to large cap organizations who are sending representatives of their company to learn in the class. It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Most of the work these days is being done in that middle management level, mm-hmm. and that's who's coming to the Sustainability Leadership Series, is that middle management level. The game that they'll participate in gives them that holistic and systemic view of sustainability. Mm-hmm. And that's what these middle managers need in order to be able to make sustainability part of the DNA or the fabric of a company.
I was going to ask you about the focus on sustainability rather than just the technical aspects. Is that because it really does need to become part of the fabric of a company's culture in order to be maintainable?
Absolutely. Many companies start out with a green team, and they put together a group of folks who are focused on different silos within the organization. And it's great. It gets the company on task, and it gets them focused on delivering on some particular objectives. But what really needs to happen is those silos need to merge and to integrate so that when marketing makes a decision, the purchasing agents understand what that means to what needs to happen within their department, within the company, in order to fulfill what is being promised to the external audiences of the company. Same thing internally. When an engineer decides he's going to change a couple of degrees, how does that impact the internal comfort in a particular building that they may be the property managers of? So there's all kinds of ramifications that are intended and unintended consequences that come out of decisions that are made. So when you have a fully integrated team or group working on sustainability, they have that ability to have more understanding about what's going to happen because of the decisions that they make.
See the ripple effect.
Absolutely. Precisely.
It would make a very interesting white paper if you could just take the best practices that y'all come across as you do these simulations, and that could be powerful knowledge for other businesses to have access to.
That's a great idea.
All right. So now I'm going to ask you about a little bit more about you yourself and see what it is, what advice that you have for the listening audience on how they can be more successful, more environmentally friendly, and then also what your X factor is, and what is it about Stephanie that you bring to the party that nobody else in the world can, because it's unique to you?
Interesting. One of the things I think that is maybe not unique to me, but something that I'm totally passionate about is brokering relationships. I like the idea that I have an understanding of the companies who are trying to accelerate sustainability, and I know all who the suppliers are, who can support them. So to be able to marry those two and introduce them creates the opportunity for new business to happen, for the company to achieve sustainability or to accelerate what they're doing. It allows economic growth for that supplier to be able to support that. And then what happens for all of us, we get a greener region of the country. And that, after all, is sort of the mission of Green Business Works and the Green Chamber of the South.